Welcome to the Next Talk podcast, where we share real stories and practical advice for parenting the digital world.
We're your hosts, Mandy and Kim. Mandy is an award-winning author and the founder of Next Talk. And I'm the director of Next Talk, a nonprofit organization created to strengthen families through open communication. You can check out all of our resources at nexttalk.org.
We're wives, moms, and friends, tackling culturally relevant topics from a Christian perspective. We're sharing what we've learned and where we've failed. We're so glad you're here for this conversation.
So we recently got asked to do a show on that transition from high school into being a young adult. And I think that's a really good topic because that's a big time.
Well, you know, my daughter graduated high school last year and is in the first year of college. So I'm kind of living this out, but I'm also new to this space. You know, this is our first year in this season. So I also wanted to poll some of our volunteers and team members that have kids older than us. So this show is a compilation of that wisdom of all of those people that I kind of polled on our team. And they've got kids like out of college. One of the ladies has a kid married. I mean, yeah, that sounds like so far down the road, but it happened fast for her. So we're going to talk through some of these talking points. So this is all about the transition from you got a kid from high school and then they're going off. So they may be going to college or they may be moving out or they may be getting a job or they may be going, whatever they're doing next. What does this transition look like from, because you're going from parenting a kid living in your home to parenting a kid living outside your home. So that's what we want to talk about today.
Well, and listen, if you have younger kids like I do, and you're thinking, oh, I don't need this show, this is a process that starts when they're little. This is something that really applies to everyone, because if you start these conversations and kind of this training up when they're young, then that transition will not be so difficult or scary for you or your kid, because it'll be a natural part of the process.
Yes, absolutely. So first talking point. We have a volunteer on our team, and I love what she says. She said this to me over and over for years, and it is amazing. She says, trust what you've taught. I can't tell you how many times as a parent of a young adult now that this phrase has calmed my mind. You know, like I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll check Life 360 and I'll see that my college age daughter is not at home yet. And I'll be like, okay, trust what you've taught. Breathe. Trust what you've taught. but it's true. Like, we have to trust what we've taught.
Well, and I think you can take that one step further if you're a believer. A lot of what we teach comes from the Holy Spirit. So really, it's saying, I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit guided my teaching and will guide my kid. So yes, trust what you've taught, knowing that it's not just what you said. It's what God wanted for your kid.
I love the way you said that. You know, looking back, Kim, now that I do have a kid out of the house, one of the things that I'm really glad that I did as a parent is this. I would never say, follow our rules, follow my rules, you know, do this, do that. I would never use that kind of terminology. I would always say, what does God want you to do in this moment? And it pushes them into a space where it's them and Jesus, like your kid and Jesus. And they have to figure out who am I going to be in this moment, right? And that is way more powerful than following my rules. Like, don't look at porn. Don't drink alcohol. Don't do this. You know, it's more of a deeper level type question. So pushing your kid into that space, you know, the trust what you've taught, like you've got to teach it when they're young. It goes back to what you said at the beginning of this show, Kim. All of these things happen when they're little. So, yeah. So that you can trust what you've taught. If you're not teaching it, you can't trust what you've taught. So conversations have to happen as life plays out in late elementary, middle school, early high school. You're having those key foundational conversations.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Another one that I can really relate to. And my mom was really good at teaching me all kinds of things. But there was one thing that when I went to college, I didn't know. So here's the little nugget of truth. Never, ever, ever assume that your kid knows something. Like, obviously they know that. No, don't think that. And it can be basic things. So here was my thing. I got to college and I didn't know how to do laundry. it just was never something I did at home. And so my now husband actually taught me how to do laundry. But it could be anything. I mean, it could be simple things like filling out your W-4 form, or like how to mail a package, or how to cook for yourself, like basic things. That's a part of training them and preparing them to be a young adult.
Little things too, like things you're like, oh, this is common sense. Like, don't bring a grill into the house because that emits carbon monoxide. Right. Things like, I'm serious though. Like,
or don't sit in your car with it on in a garage because you're cold.
Things that we are like, oh, that's so common. That's unhealthy. You know, you could, that could really hurt you. They don't know that kind of stuff. I love this talking point. Don't ever assume they know, but also be very careful not to be dismissive when you're talking about these things, because you don't want to make them feel stupid or like, oh my gosh, I should know that. So be careful how you phrase this. Like, you know, so it may be like, I don't know if you know this. I was a young adult when I learned it, but never do this, or, you know, kind of thing. When you're instilling this wisdom or this advice into your kids, you're going to always be mom or dad. That's the thing that I have learned. Like, yeah, she's a young adult. Yeah, she's out living her own life, making her own decisions. But when things get tough or she has a question, she calls me, she texts me.
Yes.
I'm always going to be mom and you're always going to be dad. So don't ever forget that.
And I think if we handle it well, you know, like you said, with the right kind of tone, it creates the relationship that they know they can ask any question and you're not going to embarrass them or make them feel like they are not allowed to ask dumb things. Like, I can come to mom or dad with anything and they're just going to answer me and be honest with me. It goes with the whole culture of communication. It doesn't just have to be important, big questions. It can be things that others might deem silly, and I'm still going to answer you and not make you feel shamed.
Well, and it's funny too, because as a parent, when you get these texts from your kid living outside your home, you're like, oh my gosh, I failed as a parent. Like the other day I got a text about using the Sam's Club app. And I was like, why did I teach this? How did she know how to, you know, the scan and go? That is an important feature in our world.
That's a gift from God, scan and go. If you don't know about it and you go to Sam's Club, after you listen to this, research it.
The scan and go. I mean, it is life changing for sure. Okay. Another thing, make sure your kiddo knows about boundaries. And this is about everything. I mean, what they have, how to set them with people, how to communicate them with people, how to readjust them if their boundaries change over time. You know, in this talks about relationships, the party scene, you know, and I'm not just talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, romantic type stuff, but friendships, all the boundaries that they need to be able to communicate. And again, they're not going to know how to do this if you haven't done it over the years. So, but this is a big one with young adults. They need to be able to communicate what they need and what their boundary is.
And some of these conversations, like you said, when you start when they're young, I know when my kids were little bitty and people would come over to the house and they'd be leaving, we would always say, like, is it going to be a hug or a handshake or a high five or just a wave? Like, giving them those options. If you're not okay or comfortable with someone touching you, even if it's a friendly touch, that's okay. And it's okay to have that boundary. And so starting with something simple like that when they're young establishes that they have that authority to make decisions for their body and for their life. And so as the conversations get more important and the relationships get more intense, it becomes more natural for them to know how to set those boundaries and have those conversations.
And I think this is just so important because you can do this with your five-year-old and you're teaching them how to create boundaries. You know, and I'm just going to say also, you know, we're talking about relationships and people, but boundaries too with substances, alcohol, drugs. Again, that needs to be an ongoing conversation in your home throughout all the years that they're exposed to it and they have friends, you know, crossing all those boundaries. Again, who are you going to be and what are you going to do? What does God want you to do in this situation? It's not don't use alcohol, don't use drugs because they're bad for you and it's my rule. It's, is this good and healthy for your body? Is this, you know, do you even want to mess with the possibility of an addiction that could ruin your entire life? It's those type of big level questions that you're having throughout the years. But you know, as a young adult, they really need to know all the alcohol, like legal consequences, medical consequences, basics like alcohol content, that sort of thing, how it affects their body, if they haven't eaten, if they have, all of those things that we need to be talking about throughout. And then when you send them off, again, we can come back to the trust what you've taught, because you've had all those conversations throughout the years.
And again, you know, a good example of that in our household, like I've had some major medical issues over the years and I have to take medication to maintain my health. And so I'm regularly taking medication. And so since my kids were little, that was part of the conversation. This is not normal. This is why mom does this. But you should not be regularly taking pills from anyone. If the doctor prescribes them for an illness or a certain condition, it's a conversation and a plan. But that shouldn't be something that's a part of your everyday life, that you're just taking a pill or accepting something from a friend. That's not normal. We need to have a conversation about what that looks like. So using myself as an example when they're little, so it's already on their mind as they get older.
I love that. I love that because they just see you taking pills and it's normal.
Yeah, they think it's normal.
And yes. So you made it a teachable moment. This is between me and my doctor and it's because of my health reasons and this is why I do this. I love that. And that's what we say by using everyday teachable moments to instill these big level conversations with your kids. And you're not scaring your kids. You're just making it a teachable moment. I love that. Another one, and this is really cool because we just had a moment where my daughter actually did this. But one of the things that our team said is young adults need to have expectations and goals for themselves, not set by the parents. Yeah. Now, again, this should be happening in high school and even late middle school. They should be start making their own goals. It shouldn't be dictated by you all the time, you know, by us, the parents. They need to be thinking in their mind, what do I want to improve this year? What are my 5 goals going into this next year? You know, and then staying accountable to those goals. It's about them wanting to self-improve themselves, not us dictating to them.
I'm going to challenge you on that, actually. I think you can start younger than middle school. In our household, when they were little, we would say, you change the language for the age, but we'd say, what's something that you want to work on or learn or improve upon as you're getting older? And we started that when they were like pre-K kindergarten. And so they're already having that mindset so that the conversations get more detailed and pointed when they're in middle school and it becomes a part of their growth, their personal growth. So I think it's something that we can instill really young that's super, super helpful for them.
Well, what you're doing is you're teaching your kid to be their own advocate, like think for themselves, like how do I need to grow as a person? And they go in with that knowledge of us modeling for them. Not everybody's perfect. We're all flawed. We're all working on something. So it's not about like making them feel bad about something, but it's right. Like, hey, we're all in this together. We all got stuff to work on. What are you going to work on? This is what I'm working on kind of thing.
And it can be what we might think is silly when they're young, but encourage that. Like my son, you know, when he was little, might have said something about sports. Like, I want to throw better or I want to be faster. And that's great. That's a great start. And it really ties into that lifelong piece that's, you know, cornerstone of Next Talk, looking in the mirror. Like that's like the first step of creating a culture of open communication in your home is always looking in the mirror. What am I doing that might be making this difficult in my house for my kids to come to me? And so how cool is it that we get to instill that in our kids? So it's a lifelong part of their process.
Amen, sister. Amen. You know, I had a really cool thing happen to me recently, you know, kids at college. So she kept texting dad and I saying, hey, we need to FaceTime. We need to FaceTime. And typically it's an on the whim FaceTime. So I just have to drop what I'm doing, whatever. I mean, I could be getting ready to go to an event and I will sit out in the car and take the FaceTime because it's, you know, you just got to take advantage of the times that they call home, which by the way, parents, when your kid moves out, you need to talk about that. The expectation of how often you're going to see each other. When are we going to check in? Because what you don't want to happen, and I found myself falling into this, is I thought she would call more often than she was going to. And she did at first. She did at first, but then she settled into her little life and she was loving it. And so I have found the best way to communicate with them is on Snapchat, because I'll get a snap, but I won't get a text. So that's just a little bit of information that I've learned. But anyway, I had, so she was like texting us saying, we need a FaceTime. Like it was serious. And we were like, okay. So we arranged a time. And she literally was like, hey, I want to travel abroad. It's going to be this amount of money. And I got a job. You guys, she got a job without even asking me or telling me. Or I got a job. I got a job and I can pay for this much. Could you guys help with this much, you know, to don't go on this thing? And she's laying it all out for us. I mean, she has like solid numbers and, you know, all and her calculations. And on this FaceTime, I just start crying. And she's like, what's wrong? You don't want me to travel abroad? And I was like, this is it, baby. You're doing it. You are being a young adult. You are figuring life out. You are making goals for yourself and you are making a plan to make those goals happen. I am so proud of you. Like, how could I say no to that? Right?
Yeah, that's so cool.
But again, like you said, Kim, I think it started really early with us having these conversations about her pushing herself. And I mean, I remember when she was in middle school, she wanted a bunny and she put together a whole PowerPoint presentation about what that was going to look like and what she was going to do and the goals she had and how she was going to pay for certain things. You know, that travel abroad conversation that happened as a young adult that just happened like a couple weeks ago. That started with like the middle school bunny and the other goals that we've consistently made her set through the years. But it's really cool to see as a parent that they're doing their own thing.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's the goal. They took what you taught and they made it their own. I mean, that is really cool to see for sure.
Yeah. So they need to have expectations and goals for themselves. You know, not set by us. But on the flip side of this, also why we're talking about expectations, I also want to put in, like, we need to talk about expectations for things like who's paying for car insurance, how long and when, who's paying for the cell phone, how long and when, you know, like I said before, when are we checking base with each other? What are the big things you're talking in with me about? You know, we just did a show about the different phases of communication, and this is independence. But if you're still helping pay for a lot of things, you're still touching base on that financial part, especially.
Be clear on that, you know, not just a kind of casual conversation. Like we talk a lot about that, like on the go casual conversations. This is not one of those. You need it to be clear and laid out so it doesn't cause a weird tension in arguments. Like they need to know what your expectation is, what you're bringing to the table, what they're bringing to the table. This is one of those things that has to be clear.
And so for us too, like just for, you know, how college is getting paid for, we have a spreadsheet and we update it every semester and it shows like her scholarships, what we're contributing and what she's contributing every semester. She writes a check, we write a check. And so we go through what that looks like with her. There's very clear expectations on what she has due when it's due. That's a whole conversation, but you need to talk about expectations generally about everything, not just the financial end, but that is a big part of it. That's a big component of the expectation thing.
Oh, I think a good one that's a part of this conversation too is visiting and holidays.
Yeah.
Because I remember that in college, arguments and missed expectations with my friends and their parents when the parents thought, if you even have a day off, you're coming home, right? You know, or they would be surprised if their kid wanted to bring someone home, a friend, a boyfriend. They were like, what? This is our time. So even that is really important to talk through. And it might change. It will change. But having that dialogue about what expectations are upfront and then continually revisiting it as they change is so helpful.
Yeah. I mean, parents, you cannot get your feelings hurt if your kid comes home and visits and they'll go to dinner with you, but the next night they want to meet up with high school friends or their old friends from this area or whatever. Like that's part of their life. And so, you know, you've just got to communicate about the schedule and come up with a plan together about those expectations. I think that is so important, Kim. The other thing is,
so one of the things that we started pretty young in our household to prepare our kids for being young adults is talking about money And this can be really difficult in a marriage. I mean, it's the number one cause for divorce. Talking about money is a big deal. And the sooner we can do it with our kids, the better. And so that can look like a lot of different things. Teaching them about budgets is so imperative. What is a budget? What does it look like? How do I do it? Creating a budget with them on just very simple things. Like for our kids, when they were little, we started with give, save, and spend. And so every time they got money, we would walk them through those steps. Like, here's your tithe money, here's your save money, and here's your spending money, and explaining what those are and them getting used to that process. So it's like now that they're a little bit older, it's just something that they do. They don't even think about it. Then, you know, setting up bank accounts. That's something that a lot of times, if you wait till the last minute, that can be so overwhelming. But if you start when they're young and they learn what a debit card is, a credit card is, how to balance their checking account, how to look at that monthly. I mean, those are all some really important skills that can make that transition so much easier if that's not another thing they're trying to learn last minute. So having those money management conversations, I think is just so critical.
Well, and as they get older, one, you build on that, because one of the main big things is getting them to understand how interest works. So if they are taking out a student loan, that needs to be in an Excel spreadsheet. So they see over time, you're going to pay this much money, but it's only going to pay the principal down this amount. And it's going to take you that many years to pay that off. So they know what they're getting into when they sign these student loan debt. Yes. I think so many kids that I know of are signing these loan debts and they have no idea what kind of payment they're going to have at the end of their college or schooling or whatever kind of certification they're getting. That it has to happen early. And I mean, throughout middle school and high school, you need to be talking about that. If you also need to incorporate into this the IRA, the stock market, like how that works and how interest compounding on savings can help you build wealth versus the interest on a student loan and how that sucks the life out of you and you could never get it paid off. Like, I know that from personal experience with my student loans, right, that we had to tackle. So all of these things, they need to understand how a mortgage works. You need to explain all of this stuff with them. You know, with your young adult, they need to understand rent versus mortgage and what the difference is and what your savings. And that needs to all be communicated to them, because these are things that aren't taught in school, but they're very important for life skills. And as your kid navigates, what you don't want them to do is start taking out all these credit cards and spending all this money and then not realizing, okay, that taco I bought at 3 a.m. for $3 really cost me $50 because of all the interest that I paid over it. Like, they need a concept of that.
And there's so many cool tools out there. Like, I remember showing our middle schooler about interest. If he started at a certain age, my husband walked him through that. Like, if you just save $20 a month, here's what that will look like with compounding interest. And he was like motivated and shocked all in the same breath and excited. And then something that we did with our young kids that really opened their eyes about 5 years ago, we had a car loan. And so my husband made this cool visual where he showed what the cost of the car was today and what we would end up paying for it over the course of the loan because of interest. And every month, the kids would color in the payment. And so when we paid off the car and they colored in that last box, it was so impactful for them, because we talked to them about how that payment now is money that we can use for something else. So they were excited to reach that goal. And they also saw like how long it took and what interest does to the final bill. And that visual and them being a part of that process, I think really helped them to grasp what it all means. So there's a lot of cool things you can do with young kids that help prepare them.
Well, and this goes back, Kim, if you're consistently doing this in your home when they're little, like you are, when they get older, you're not going to have trouble with them setting their own goals, because it's like a part of their DNA now. It's like their normal culture to kind of do that and look at it all from the perspective and have the knowledge of the interest and know what I'm getting into when they take out a loan. That's what we want them to know. All good stuff. The other thing they need to know, even your young adults, and say this out loud to them. If you have challenges, failures, issues, you're always the safe place to land. Now, you should be this throughout their whole childhood. We just did a show, create a safe place, right? But sometimes when they move out, they feel like, okay, I'm an adult now. I got to figure it out on my own. You have to reassure them, I'm still here. You can still call me at 3 a.m. I don't even care if you've made a bad choice and you're in a bad situation. I'm your safe place. Like, I'm here. I know that as a young adult, your brain is not fully developed yet until you're 25, that prefrontal cortex. And I know there may be stupid mistakes. I'm going to love you the same. I'm your safe place to figure it out. Whatever happens, like, I'm here. I don't want you to have to deal with all those silly consequences of bad decisions. So I really don't want you to make bad decisions. But if you do, and you find yourself in a weird situation, I'm here. I'm always going to be your place.
You know, our social media manager, Darby, she said recently, and she put this in a post, like one of the things she loved about her parents is they were always team Darby. Like, she knew they were on her side and on her team. Not that they agreed with every decision she made, but that she could count on them to be there for her. And this is a perfect example of that. They need to know that and be reminded of it.
Well, and sometimes being on your kid's team is saying to them, hey, I love you. I'm going to help you, but this wasn't a great decision. And we really need to talk about that. You know, that's part of being team Darby or team whatever your kid's name is, right? Is that you're having these real honest conversations with them, but you're loving them unconditionally no matter what. The other thing, you have an adult. They are moved out of your house, right? Talk to them like adults when dealing with adult subjects. You're teaching. You're saying, hey, you know, when I was your age, I discovered this. Do you know about this kind of thing? It's that don't expect them to just know, but definitely don't be dismissive or be like, are you stupid? Like, why do you not know this? Please don't talk to your kid like that. I mean, they're not going to call home if that's how we're interacting with them.
Well, and my internal dialogue has to be different than my external dialogue. Like, inside, I'm like, you will always be my baby. Like, that is, I say that all the time. But I can't treat them like babies. You know, once they leave, they're not your baby anymore. I mean, they will always be. But externally and in your communication with them, treat them with the respect of a young adult. That will go a long way for your relationship.
Another thing that I think is really important, and it was on our list of what our team had mentioned, is no path is set in stone. Listen, your kid gets to college, they hate their classes, and they realize, oh my gosh, I really love this area of study. Let them change. If your kid goes to college and doesn't like it and thinks it's not for them, let them change. We did an interview with one of our team members' daughters. She went to college and it wasn't her path and she wanted to create her own business. And it was
embracing plan B.
Yes, because, you know, she thought college was for her and then it wasn't. And her mom and dad had to like love her and trust her. They had to trust what they've taught. Something's not right here. And then her story is beautiful. You should go listen to that show because then she actually moved home from college and met her future husband. So she wasn't supposed to be there. And, you know, she just couldn't find her friend group, the right friend group. And she was struggling. But you have to listen to your kid. If they are not in the right place, they're going to tell you. Or vice versa, they may not choose college. And then they, and you may think, okay, great. We don't have that financial burden. And then they may come to you and say, okay, I really do want to do this. Is there any way you can help me figure this out? So listening to your kid, and realizing they may change and that's okay. Their career path may change, where they live, all of that may change and that's okay. Like, we didn't plan for study abroad, but here we are. It's really important to her. She had a plan. So we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure this out as a family together.
And we want to be clear here. This is not like, I remember coming home being like, I hate college because it was a stressful day. When we say listen to your kid, it's a conversation and you know your kid and they come home and they're explaining to you, here's what's going on. Here's what I've thought through. This is what I'm thinking. And you work through those thoughts with them. And it's not, you know, a flash decision. That's a little bit different. Let them have a bad day. That's a whole different conversation. But if they really see themselves on a different path, we're saying, don't dismiss them. Hear them out. Help them look at that path and look at all the different parts of that path and come up with a plan so they feel supported and not dismissed because they want to do something different than the original plan A.
I think that's a very good clarification, Kim. A lot of the college groups and parents that I talk to, you know, when their kids struggle first semester, one of their guidelines is, well, give it a year or give it the first semester. Mm-hmm. Because maybe you didn't find the right friend group the first two first 2 months, but you got to try different things and find your people. And I think you're exactly right. It's not a whimsical decision. This is a well thought out. And what am I doing next? If I'm quitting this, what am I doing next? Because you're not just quitting and coming home and playing video games, right? What is your plan for your life? And so that's all a conversation. And that's about your kids setting their own goals and expectations and coming to you with a plan for sure. You know, as we wrap up this show, all of these things are like great. But there's a couple things that I have learned in the last couple months that have been personal to me. It's that look in the mirror piece, Kim, as I'm parenting a young adult. One is know your triggers as a parent and make sure that that's not affecting the relationship with your young adult child. And what I mean by that is when I was a young adult in college, I had walked away from the faith and I was a partier and it was a bad situation for me. It was a very bad situation. And so for me, college and any kind of party, or it's a trigger for me. It brings all that back. Like, oh my gosh, she's going to be me at the club. Okay. She's not me at the club. She's not me at the club. No, my husband has had to look at me sometimes and said, she's not you at the club. She's not you, Mandy. And you have to know your triggers, because what we don't want to do is project our mistakes on them and then we nag them or like want to control their every move. I mean, that is not going to be any kind of good for the relationship. And so if you can process your triggers with your spouse or best friend, that's what you really need to do, because you are going to have triggers, especially if this time in your life wasn't a Christ-centered time for you and it wasn't for me. And so all of that is triggering for me.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's important to know those triggers throughout their childhood and, you know, as you're parenting them, because they will come up all through their school years. But once they're gone, sometimes fear can take over because we feel like we've lost all control. So yes, identify the triggers and then revisit that conversation in your head as you're parenting your young adult, because you don't want to push them away.
Well, and I want to say, you said we've lost all control. Here's the thing. If you're parenting the next talk way, you never have control, because it's all about the open communication. You're not trying to control your kid. You're not trying to dictate to your kid. You're trying to push your kid into the Holy Spirit and what God has for your kid. And so you don't have to control. You're just trying to push your kid into that relationship. And so they can listen to God and discern for themselves.
And thank God that we're not God. I mean, that really, seriously, we are not God. And that is a good thing.
So sometimes my daughter will call me from college, right? And she'll say, well, okay, this person wants to room with me next year, or this person wants to room with, what do you think I should do? And I'm like, baby, I'm not God. I'm not sure. Let's talk through the pros and cons list. You know, like, what do you think about this person? Be very careful about just jumping on a bandwagon and saying, well, you need to do this. I know this person's mom and this is who you need to room with and da 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 da. Like, we don't know. Or you think I should date this person, or you think I should date that person. Like, I'm not God. Like, I'm not quite sure here. I can talk with you through, like, what do you like? What do you don't like? What are red flags? Like, we can talk through all of that. I'm your safe place. But I think sometimes as a parent, for a young adult, we get these little glimpses into their life where they call us and they want advice and we want to give really solid advice. So sometimes I feel like we push ourselves into this space where it's not our space. Like, we're not quite sure what God is doing right now in this moment with this person or this roommate or what, or this friendship or whatever. And so just be careful. Make sure your words are filled with the Holy Spirit. Make sure you're giving your kid the right advice. That is one that I'm consistently, when I hang up the phone, I like kind of check myself with things on what I've told her.
So one of the things that I've been telling myself lately that kind of plays into this space and that I hope to get better at is I want to give direction versus dictation. Mm-hmm. Like I want to direct my kid towards making their own decision instead of dictating what they need to do. And so I'm constantly saying that in my head lately because I tend to want to be just like, do this. And you're right. We're not God. And we know what's good, but we may not always know what's best. And so prayerfully answering our kids in a way that gives them guidance, I think is really important.
Direction versus dictating. That is gold right there. And that is really powerful, Kim. And it speaks into, you say it perfectly, way better than what I was trying to say. And I like that a lot. You guys, I hope this show helps you. It will help you navigate from high school to young adult phase, but we also hope there's lots of nuggets here for parents of younger kids about what you can do now. Because when your kid does move out, you want to be able to trust what you've taught. And what that means is the conversation starts today. Thank you so much for joining us, listening, and sharing our podcast. Because of you, this show is in the top 5% of over 2.9 million podcasts.
We have lots of resources for you, from counseling to live events. Or if you have a show idea or a question for our team, visit our website at nexttalk.org. We'd love to hear from you.
At Next Talk, we're more than cyber parenting. It's conversations to connect.
This podcast is not intended to replace the advice of a trained healthcare or legal professional or to diagnose, treat, or otherwise render expert advice regarding any type of medical, psychological, or legal problem. Listeners are advised to consult a qualified expert for treatment.